I'm going to call the Kootenai Fire District Prudential Committee meeting to order March 6th, 2019, 5:30 p.m. Could I have a roll call, please?
Ray Perrone, Treasurer.
Lisa Mycock-Kelly, Prudential.
Fran Parks, Prudential.
Sylvia Janelle, Prudential.
Jolly Eagle Clark.
All right. Could we have you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? I'm going to move the water department up. We're going to start with change the agenda a bit with the water budget.
Okay, Don Campbell, Water Commissioner. If you want to follow along in your handouts, you'll see in the first part, labors and salaries, we have the biggest changes. We'll be having an assistant superintendent and eliminating the senior operator position. There's a couple step increases for the operators and a cost of living increase. So the net change we have for labors and salaries is just about 7%. In the maintenance section, we have added a category, which we should have done before, I believe. It's required for the USDA money that we had for the water tank, and we have to maintain a $15,500 entry into that every year. Mm-hmm. So that's an increase this year. The grounds money will increase due to the fact we have more grounds, more areas we're taking care of. The water testing is a little bit of a decrease this year. When we get to the operations section, we have an increase in postage due to the change in the billing process we're going to go through, which I think we'll all find out more about when we do our presentations. And the printing cost is increasing. That's going to be related to the additional billing, number of billings we do. Additional costs for computer and copier machine, copy use. We have a slight increase for dues and licenses that are required. We have a decrease for fuel, a slight increase for chemicals, slight decrease for telephones and electricity, and a very small increase for the HVAC. So overall, there's a 6.29% increase over the year we're working in right now. Total is $690,909.
What's the status of the wireless towers? The cell
tower. One of the carriers has moved equipment to the top of the tower. We still received the check, the full check. I don't know if they actually transferred the use to that connection on top of the tower yet and mm-hmm. dismantled. The cow is still there.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, I would love to have that done so we can have something done. I have my pet peeve is things don't ever get done. So I don't know what to say. We can call them, but we can't make them go out there and do it.
Yeah. So is Open Cape attached and up and running and your security?
We have stuff.
Just to go back on the antennas that you were talking about, I actually swung by there on my way here. The electric meter is there, but it's reading zero, so they're not hooked up to anything. And the other one they're still using at this time. As far as Open Cape, we have the security people there. We're looping back. We are on Open Cape now. Secure Networks has our contract. I talked to Bill McCourt. He's waiting to hear from the uppers in his office to come do the installation and everything there, so we can go to the other system. That's the increase that you're seeing here under computers, some of that, yep. The monthly charges. I believe that answers what you had there.
Any other questions?
With regard to the postage, I think that pre-metered mail is still just 50 cents. Is that correct? I know that we print our own stamps, and we're only 50 cents for a first-class stamp. If you print your own or if you have a metered.
Yeah, what we have is a pre-class, pre-sort first-class. We pay $200 or $225, I think it is, a year. Might be $255. And then I think it cost us 43 cents
okay, a piece. Okay, so the mass mailers. Like,
yeah, that comes at a discounted rate and goes through, everything's already pre-stamped, the pre-sort permit number 13 through the post office.
So it won't be increasing the 55 postage increase is irrelevant because you're using the bulk mail at 43 cents.
Correct. We're going from billing two times a year to four times a year, so that's why that you see the increase there.
Okay.
I apologize if I missed something. I was just trying to do math as you were talking, trying to listen at the same time. So if I ask something that you've already answered, I want to apologize in advance. But the biggest increase that I see is for line item 5242, stations, tanks. Is that just an increase in maintenance? It goes from an appropriation in this fiscal year of $24,500 to a $40,000 appropriation.
That is actually what it was the year before, I believe, not 2 years ago. That's the 40,000 and the 24,500 and the 15,500 added together equal 40.
Gotcha.
And we had to separate that required maintenance. So what we did is we put it back to the normal 40,000. We had broken it out last year to pay that off. So it's basically, it's the same thing. It's just the 15.5 has been added to its own instead of coming out of that account.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. And you're not going to be having any special warrant articles in terms of equipment?
There'll be no money articles coming up. Yeah. There might be, I know that there's a bylaw that we're talking about, and there might possibly, I'm trying to get something together now to change. With our Water Management Act, we have to adopt new stringent law, the guidelines for when we go into restrictions. They are actually, if they put out that we have to go into demand again where we have low water rates, water levels are down to a certain, it's going to have to go in only to water in twice a day. Only between before 5, and they have a new law, which in 2000 we adopted one that was legal then. Now they want us to be more stringent and put out a new one so we can keep going with our Water Management Act.
Okay, great.
But there are no capital expenses.
No capital expenses.
Chris, I know you might not have the answer now, but could you get the answer for me on what the estimate of the revenue will be under the new billing?
Yeah, it should, we had that, I believe we will probably have that at the meeting coming up. We did put it out from what Tater and Howard had given us with the rate survey. They showed what it would be coming in around about. It should be half a year or maybe actually a full year now if we have everything go right, and it should be real close to right, that figure right there. That's what we're working it from.
Close to that figure, I'm sorry, you're pointing to something and...
Oh, I'm sorry,
close to 100%.
It's close to 100% with the new billing cycle.
100% of?
Of what is, if, of over that of, I'll let you know. We'll go back and look at it with the percentages and everything else, yeah.
That
if you need
exactly.
A hard figure, yeah.
Yeah.
So all the stuff is on here, plus the health insurance,
certain percentage of it, yeah.
Okay. All right. And what about, well, should include debt service as well.
I apologize.
And everything that comes under our responsibility.
Right, well, that would
yeah.
be
yeah. Yeah, I'll get you a how to figure
yeah.
on that.
Okay, that's fine.
Right.
And just a question, when you increase this billing cycle in that way, are you going to change term, but also what they still owe from previous terms. You want to take advantage, the full advantage of this mailing and make sure that they know how much they owe that they haven't paid from the previous one. That should also be.
Yeah, that can't work. We can't do it that way because that would be interesting.
Yeah, Lisa, we can't.
Yeah, just mail them. No.
Yeah, no.
We'll do this
later.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks.
Where's Yeah. All right, the fire budget.
Just going to wait for the computer to come on 1 second. You guys ready?
Yep.
A little limited on batteries here, so hopefully it stays going. Salary and labors. My salary is 2.5% increase per contract. The permanent firefighters goes up 2.79 per contract. That's due to the contractual changes, step changes for the firefighters. Educational incentive went up 43.6%. So that's noteworthy. And the reason there is the new contract provides educational stipends for the majority of our firefighters. The old contract only provided educational college incentives to, I think it's the top four senior firefighters. So now we're encouraging everybody to be educated, and this new stipend takes effect this year, which is why the change is there. Longevity pay, there's no change. Administrative assistant, we've got a budget of 2.79. However, next week, commissioners is going to discuss the job description of the administrative assistant, and that could change pending discussion next week, so that's kind of a placeholder. Vacation coverage went up 6%. That's due to firefighters progressing in further steps with more vacation time. Other than that, the only noteworthy change is firefighter other. We budgeted $10,000. That was meant to be an other category that didn't fit in, so not a vacation coverage, personal coverage, but example would be having a firefighter take a vehicle for repair at a shop or something other unaccounted for. This year, we unfortunately had a situation where we had a firefighter on administrative time that wasn't expected, wasn't predictable, and it ended up going over the 10,000. I think we're at 16 or 18,000 now. So we threw an extra 25,000 at it, which is a 250% increase. That could easily change at the next commissioner's meeting. We don't anticipate future large numbers, but sometimes things happen and we don't anticipate, so it is what it is. It brings us to 4.9% total on the budget, salary and labors. Any questions on salary and labors before we change? Operations, we zero increase in everything. We're doing really well with budgeting this year. We're looking to meet budget all the way across, so we just left it at zeros everywhere. We didn't see it. There's electricity and heating. We've got excess funds in that, but we're not looking to decrease it. We don't know exactly what fuel prices are going to be next year. We're not that much lower, so I think we actually did a really good job last year of putting appropriate numbers at everything, so we're not looking for any increases at all. Maintenance. Same thing, maintenance. We zero increases across the board for maintenance, and then miscellaneous zero as well. It all stacks up to a 4.05% increase. Any questions on this slide?
I just, my only concern would be, not really a concern, I just want to make sure that, as you're saying, you're comfortable with your numbers, maintaining your numbers from last year based on the expenses that you think are going to come up and based on your historical expenses.
We are. Historical, we look at, I think we went back to like 2012. We look at actuals going across the board. We looked at this year where we are today, where we're expected to be based on the percentage we've gone through the year. We feel pretty comfortable. The one that's a little questionable, and the commissioners may have a different opinion, is the vehicles. We're looking to go just a slight bit over budget on that this year. Unfortunately, I just found out today we had a mechanic come in, and they told us that the their older fire truck, our 263 engine, the tank mounts are completely rotted out. And He said it was something that was supposed to be fixed a couple of years back when they retrofitted it. They never did it. So it could be a $20,000 or $30,000 repair to an engine to keep it going another 5 years, which we intend to keep it for that long. So we're waiting to get actual quotes on it. We don't have any quotes. It's the mechanic said, this is the people you call. We're waiting for them to come down and quote it. But there could be a last-minute article placed on there or an increase that we request. But hopefully by next Tuesday, commissioners, I'll be able to have some prices and we'll be able to update this. So. But overall, we're looking pretty good. So I think our budget was reasonable, and we didn't see any reason to increase it.
Excellent. Thank you.
Great.
Proposed articles. The only one we have on here is Scott air tanks, so our breathing air tanks. Last year, we had an appropriation of $60,000 to replace half of our Scott air tanks. We haven't expended that money yet. We got loaner bottles to replace the ones that were expiring this year. The loaner bottles expire July 1st, so the loaner bottles get thrown out as well. We have to replace most of them by July 1st. The tanks we have are, I think, 13 years old. They're two generations back from the existing, the newer ones nowadays. They're much more stringent safety standards than the new tanks. We were waiting to spend the last $60,000 until the new version. So the new version just came out this month for Scott tanks. We don't want to buy an old version already, you know, when they're brand new, be, you know, one standard back. So the NFPA comes out with standards every, I think, 5 years. They change the standards. And one of the big changes is reserve air. So they say these Scott tanks are set to give firefighters an extra, I don't know the numbers in front of me, an extra, the new ones I think are about 15 minutes or 20 minutes exit time. The older ones were like 10 or 12 minutes. So if we were running two different types of tanks, you know, one set of firefighters, half of them would be jumping out of the building at one time, and the other one would be the different time period. So it's not reasonable. So we're looking for the second half of that. So. And we are waiting for updated quotes on that, so we'll hopefully get the price down if we can.
Paul, does that mean that you'd be spending both last year's and this coming year's 60
Correct.
In July?
Yeah, so the total cost to replace all the tanks, the packs and tanks, is about $120,000.
So we'll be looking to spend that in July?
Yes, before July.
July.
Yes. $60,000 before July and the other $60,000 after July 1st, if it's approved.
Gotcha. Understood.
And we're waiting for updated quotes. Lieutenant Pouliot's doing the research on this. He's calling around all the neighboring departments. We want to make sure that the bottles and the tanks we get match everybody else's.
Yeah.
We don't want some standard that nobody else has. So we're making sure that anybody, that all the neighboring departments haven't decided to go to some new standards so that we fit all of them.
And I assume these are something that are fairly readily available once you decide what you're going to get, and they're not, you know, this isn't a back-ordered type situation where we're going to be in trouble come July 1?
No, I don't think we'll be in trouble July. They should be, they're used all over the country. They're pretty much the standard in firefighting. They're on state bids, so it's not a waiting for bids or anything. Should be readily available and easy to get.
Have you looked into the, if there's any public safety grants or anything available out there that would help you supplement your capital requests?
We haven't put grants in for this. I mean, there are certainly, we did put a grant in this past year for upgrades to our ambulance. So the new standard in ambulance is an auto load system that loads the stretcher into the ambulance and hopefully saves, it does save back firefighter back injuries. We put a grant in, or my EMS officer, Shane Clark, put a grant in for that. So for a new load system and a new stretcher. We had a stretcher break the other day, and the guy came in, and he said it was so old he had a hard time getting parts for it. So we put a grant in for that, and that's, I think, the load and the new stretchers, I think it's close to $50,000. So we did put a loan for that, a grant process in for that, but we have not put a grant for the tanks. And we can look into that. And the money also doesn't have to, we have 5 years. It's article money, so we have 5 years to spend it, so the July 1st isn't really a hard deadline for us. Well, actually, July 1st for the tanks is the hard deadline. We have to have tanks by July 1st, but that will, yeah, and those are off the shelf. They should be fine, so.
Excellent. Well, keep us posted on that, please. Thank you.
That's all I got for budget stuff, I think.
Great. Thank you.
Questions?
Thank you.
Okay.
So next item is the space needs assessment presentation.
If it's a lot of work, we have our boards and easels too. So, and we have handouts, so if it's easier to, whatever way you'd like it, we have it both ways. Okay. While Yanni is setting up, Rick Finuccio from Brown Lindquist Architects, here to give a little bit of an update from our February 6th meeting when we were with you last. Just wanted to give you a quick update on kind of where we've been since a couple weeks back, what additional work we've done, what is left to do in the study to kind of bring the study piece in for a landing so that you have everything you need for the annual meeting. So when we met with the group on February 6th, there was some very good discussion on the design and some critiques of some things that were internally working. Everyone seemed to generally like what was at that time called Option A in terms of the addition onto the parcel that had been recently acquired by the fire district. So what we did is we took that option A, and I believe you had seen it in a subsequent meeting that we were not at, and voted to proceed with that plan. So we continued to develop that option A. The chief had sent some additional plan comments to us in the form of a sketch. We took that, massaged it a little bit, made it work what we thought a little bit better. So we have that option as well. So what we're really talking about are our kind of different plans, but all within about the same envelope. So in terms of the size of what you're seeing, we're really kind of moving small chess pieces around the board right now. The actual expansion onto the adjacent parcel is about the same on across all three of the concepts. So we've made the plan changes. We've developed some 3D kind of views to understand massing and how the addition will connect on to the existing building. We've looked a little bit closer to the site plan to look at how much parking we can get under zoning and with the proper setbacks on each side of the property. It's obviously not a very large parcel. It slopes front to back. So there's not a lot of room to do the addition and the parking and have all sorts of additional room. We've got it working, but you'll see when we go through the site plan, it's just working. There's not 10 or 12 parking spaces. We've got just 4 spaces in the front of that section, not taking into account the existing parking on the other side of the fire station. So we have also obtained an updated septic review letter from our engineer, from our site engineer, Baxter Nye, and they have confirmed, based on intended uses, that in theory, the flow between the existing fire station and its new septic system and the parcel next door, the current septic system that is on that site, we are under, not by a lot, but we're under the flow, the max flow. I think I explained at the last meeting, we have to get the health department to agree to that methodology of merging the two flows. Mm-hmm. So under Title V, there is a means to do that. So we have to just go through that kind of interim step. We're going to ask, we've already got a request in for a meeting with the health department. We might ask the chief to attend just to be able to speak to the fire station operations. But right now, on the math side, the parcel can accommodate the addition, whether it's an existing whether it's the existing septic that we can tie into. It's a little bit still under study there. It's in a good place, so where they put it actually was convenient for us. It's, though, in the driveway as you would be going down towards the back. So we have to look a little closer at whether that existing septic that was left over from the house is really usable. But the flow is good. So what we can take credit for right now is that flow. And we should be able to make the septic systems work. Whether it's a split system, which is what we're kind of envisioning, is that the septic that serves the fire station would continue to serve the fire station, and a small system would basically serve the new addition to the side.
We've developed a long-range schedule based on what we had also talked about at that last meeting, which was if you take the study to the district this spring and you request additional funds to pursue the study beyond a concept level, and you go all the way through to a bid document level and out to bid, and then bring bids back to next spring, 2020, you'd be starting construction, in a sense, in the late summer of 2020. So obviously that would fast forward. It puts us towards a spring 2021 completion. So that's just kind of working around the annual meetings and the conversation we had at the last meeting, which would be bringing hard bids at some other date to the district meeting. So we've got a schedule that is pretty clear around those two dates. So the next steps after tonight, if barring any changes, you know, we can noodle this thing till the end of time. That's the thing about a concept study. You can be, you know, you can get in the weeds quickly of a door here and a window there. And I always say a space study, you're trying to paint the broad strokes, and I think we've got all the broad strokes. We've got all the functions that you need for all the district offices and improved operations for the fire station working, is to get it out for a cost estimate. So our next step is to take it, write up our outline, summary of work, take the preferred concept, and again, at this level, whether it's A, B, or C, they're really, you know, they're within hundreds of square feet of each other, and they're really just subtle differences on the interior. Get it off to our independent estimator so we can get it back, develop a full budget, put a bow on it, and have it ready for you to take to the district meeting in May. So I think we're tracking pretty well. We're sitting here in early March. We think we've got the plans, elevations, and basic design concepts in a pretty good place. Again, we can study these things till, and just keep going and trying to solve all sorts of problems. There's going to be lots of ample time to deal with site issues and drainage and site lighting and all sorts of issues like that. But from a high-level space study, which is what our charge was, I think we're pretty close to being able to put it out for cost estimates. So, go ahead. Question, Fran?
Yeah, can I ask a question?
Sure.
We showed this to the board of directors of the Civic Association last night, and they had some questions. One of my questions is that if instead of putting the addition, we put a freestanding building there, would the cost be... Do you think the cost would be about the same, or there would be a big cost savings with a freestanding building?
That's a great question. So there's two parts probably to the answer. One, I think before we even started, we had asked whether a freestanding option was an option we should pursue. And I think operationally, in conversations with the fire department and the amount of day-to-day communication that there is between the district offices and the fire ops, it made sense to connect it. So from an internal standpoint, there seemed to be a lot of efficiencies day-to-day to connect it to the fire station as opposed to pulling it apart.
Right.
So we pursued aggressively the addition concept, and we didn't spend time with the freestanding option. We also know that that starts to drop down into somewhat of a hole down there. So, you know, bringing that addition up and connecting it internally allowed us also to kind of create this, you know, drive under lower level walkout situation. In terms of construction cost, about the only thing you'd be saving would be the literal connection between the addition and the existing building, because we can foresee a scenario where the addition would have its own electrical subpanel, its own HVAC system, a lot of its own systems that don't start to contradict what's already going on in the fire station. So from a cost perspective, pulling it out and creating a freestanding building, I would venture an opinion that I don't think you're going to be saving significant dollars, and you're going to lose functionality. You're going to lose that internal connection and a kind of integrated building. We also, because it's a narrow lot, if you envision taking that yellow block and pulling it away, and in terms of, as the fire chief knows well, we have to be a certain distance or we're going to get into rated exterior walls. So the further we pull it from the fire station, the operative number is about 20 feet. If it's 5 feet or 8 feet or 10 feet, we start to get into rated exterior walls, which have a bearing on how we separate the buildings. Okay. So if you take that yellow block and you envision moving it over into the center of the site, we probably would lose the drive under and lose that kind of walkout level that's inherent to the lot. And we would probably end up with a few other residual issues that would happen by making it a freestanding structure. So I'm not, again, I just heard it a half hour ago. The chief mentioned to me that that was one of the issues that was raised. You know, without doing a deeper level of study or pulling it apart and getting an alternative cost estimate, which I think we still can do. If it's something really that the committee wants to pursue, we could probably modify the design, but it means taking, in a sense, and flipping our thinking. Because right now, if you recall, the yellow block has all the now kind of fire operations, and I say operations, but meaning bunk room, day room, kitchen, dining area, and we've used the existing building for the business offices. If we flip that on its head and we pull the building apart, we're probably back to putting the business offices only in the new building, the freestanding new building, and the fire station, to whatever extent we would renovate inside, would remain. So it's a bit of, it would be a bit of a 180 at this point, but not saying we couldn't explore it if there were really compelling reasons to. I'm not really seeing them at this level.
You'd have added cost, though, in separating that, because you're going to have to do a lot of rehab in the fire, existing fire station, to bring that up to code.
If we detach it?
If you detached it.
If we detach it, none of the problems in the fire station, right, go away. We'd have, end up having to go back in and do a significant amount of renovation anyway.
It may end up costing more.
I think it takes you down that path very quickly. I think right now we have not a large connection point, so if you see the yellow, we've tried to manage how much of an impact the addition has on the fire station. So it's not like we're undermining and excavating along that whole side and we're creating this really difficult connection. It's actually a pretty logical and not so difficult dimension to manage to connect the new to the old.
Okay.
So.
Right. Sorry I interrupted.
No, that's okay. I guess we can quick set a floor plan, Yanni, and I'll try to just, again, it's going to be probably a little hard to see at this level. We'll try to zoom in. So this was that option A plan, and where the district offices, in a sense, are starting to occupy where the current bunk rooms and fire offices are now. The training room is existing. But essentially, we're making this into the business offices, and I think you saw all that at the February 6th meeting. So basically, a lot of this is remaining, and these are spaces being repurposed. We've got a couple little new partitions in here to subdivide it a little better. But by and large, there's not wholesale demolition or reconstruction going on. We're kind of repurposing a lot of the spaces that are already there. And then if you look at this as the property line, and we start to go down to the addition piece, again, this is kind of the what we'll call back-of-house fire operations, where we have the four bunk rooms in the back. We have the kitchen, dining, and day room. We have a lieutenant's office. We have now this gear room that allows staff to slip through the gear, not that they're grabbing gear on the way. It's usually set up next to the fire trucks. But it kind of puts the gear room as an area in between apparatus and their kind of... again, I'll just keep calling it the back-of-house bunk room areas. We would require to be putting in an accessible shower room, so we've got kind of a new unisex shower room right in the center while keeping the two existing restrooms intact. So if we're trying not to drive the plumbing load way up, we're trying to take credit for some of the existing plumbing that's intact but not accessible. So it does not meet code right now in that space. So we're basically meeting our code requirement by putting in a brand new unisex shower area. And then, is that the report room? I can't read it from here, Yanni. So we got a little report writing room for staff to tuck in and do daily report writing. And then we have a stair down that'll take you to kind of a lower level where we've got basically storage and overflow equipment storage areas and fitness room, mechanical room, a record storage room, and a locker area down here. So this space down here still needs some massaging. We would never probably recommend a fitness room that's going to be that large, but right now we have to come in and start to work with the chief and look at how many people are really likely to use it. Is it two? Is it three on any given time? What we'll end up doing is most likely subdividing this section more and kind of defining this area with, and you'll see it on one of the other options, more of a double wide set of bays for that drive under scenario. The overhead doors probably would not be so significantly high because, again, grading, that you're going to be getting a large apparatus down there. I think we talked about that at the last meeting, that it's probably smaller vehicles or a light trailer or other kind of extra equipment, but it's unlikely based on, without doing significant cutting to the site and without doing deep, deep foundations, we're probably looking at a more modest, perhaps a 10-foot high overhead door or doors that would still allow some reasonable storage of some of the excess equipment and material that's needed. So that's option A. Option B, again, is a kind of a variation on a theme. I think on the A I skipped that we had the police. We did slip that police office that was requested in there right here. Kind of a... What's that?
I don't know if... I don't think we reported the board yet. Did we have conversations with the Barnstable Police? Have you guys talked about that? You have?
Yeah.
So we did find that we could most likely kind of adjust one of the offices and then do a little bit of combination for the clerk slash conference room in one of those options. So again, here, similar thing is all the offices are over in this section, including the chief's office. So when I say the offices, that is not just the district business offices, but it's the chief's office as well. It's the front reception area. The kind of public entry is maintained on this side. So in no instance are we flipping the public entry over to the addition. I think we had explored that briefly in one option that I think you had seen last time. And we all agreed to maintain the bulk of the parking is on the north side. So let's maintain the public entry in the area where it currently exists. We're manipulating a little bit in this front entry just to provide an accessible toilet room right in the public, more in the public side. That is not an accessible restroom at the current time. Similar option here to A in the sense, though, that we're now taking these bunk rooms and kind of stringing them along the southerly edge of the addition and tucking the kitchen dining area here so that there's direct access out onto a deck, which would have a set of stairs down to that lower kind of yard area. Unfortunately, with a requirement of 10 feet for a grill to any adjacent combustible surface, we get a little bit of a problem right here. And that's not an easy thing to solve if a traditional kind of propane gas grill or a hard-piped gas grill is desired just for general cooking. We don't have the ability to locate a grill anywhere in this area and be 10 feet from any of these three walls. So it's one of those kind of weird little things that we're going to have to kind of come up with something creative or put the grill down at the bottom lower level. But unfortunately, you're up and down stairs. So that's just something we wanted to point out tonight that we all have grills in our houses, and I guarantee most of them are not more than 10 feet from a combustible surface. But that's just something that we want to make sure is very clear. So again, bunk rooms, day rooms, all those same functions you just saw here, just rearranged a little differently, tucking the kitchen and the dining area towards the back with a little bit more direct connection to the deck. And same thing, we have the lieutenant's office, a report room, and we have the common unisex shower area here and the gear room. So I didn't touch on this in the first option, but that line you've seen before, I've described it, that is the property line. We're just keeping it on the drawing so everyone understands that at some point that obviously that whole property line has to go away and get abandoned, and most likely the lots get merged. So... And option C is, again, just, I think option B might have been a little bit more closer in line with your sketch concept, Chief. So we took it, massaged it a little bit, got it to where we thought that option worked pretty well. And this is really, again, just a variation on a theme in terms of the bunk rooms on the south and towards the front here. And the back section has, if we can zoom in, Yanni, on this area. Yeah, thank you. So in this option, just to be a little more clear, we're trying to segregate the kind of the kitchen, dining, day room functions from the bunk rooms. whether it's for acoustical benefits or other. We just decided on this option to try to bring the bunk rooms, the four requested double bunk rooms, up towards the front. A fairly straightforward corridor, centralized shower room, and then have the day room, kitchen, and dining all here. Again, with still with access out to that side deck, should that deck be pursued. We've got a pretty good-sized report writing room here, which even in this scenario gives us more file storage. We've got the lieutenant's office here, not on the front of the building, so in this case it's a little bit more on the back side. If I can span down a little right there, Yanni. So one thing I want to point out with this kind of mustard green color here is we're trying to keep the circulation also as straight as we can. So when it comes to where is the building and the addition sit on the property, we're trying to also make this connection through right here as logical as it can be. So, you know, you could come down and then make a hard right and then a left and pull the whole addition forward. But what that does is it eliminates the parking in the front. So the kind of sweet spot between where the addition plugs in is a function of where it sits on the site so that we can carve at least a couple of parking spaces in front. It makes for straightforward circulation through the middle of the building, and it gives us the benefit of the walkout in the back. So can we slide, when you go back to the seeing it on the site, you start to connect interior moves with the overall site moves, and why did we put the addition where we put it? It's a combination of factors. It's a combination of those internal connections that I just described, providing room for a couple of parking spaces, maintaining town-required buffers, and actually we're a little below the buffer right here. It's supposed to be 10 feet, and we're only about 5 feet right now. But again, we haven't fine-tuned pavement and edges. We'll zoom in on that a little bit right here. So we're supposed to, in the town zoning bylaw, have about a 10-foot buffer from the edge of pavement to a property line. Right now, we're about 5 feet. We're showing this dashed line represents a fence line. Because we're in a residential district, we're going to have to buffer the parking and the pavement somehow anyway, vis-a-vis a solid fence or evergreen planting or a combination of those. So until we get into like hard engineering and really looking at the site and how driveways work, we did take one of the vehicles the chief gave us and we did a little turning template. We could not make that large piece of apparatus work. It kind of kept hitting the corner of this building, this right here. So we just showed a smaller vehicle here to just kind of give you an idea of how, is this a little bit of an oversized pickup truck, Yanni?
It's an F-150.
Yeah, so it's basically more of a utility size vehicle to give you an idea of how you'd come down and be able to drop, because these grades are dropping nicely in our favor, and be able to swing in and tuck in underneath the building and use those two lower areas. For some version of either a smaller vehicle or just equipment. So I think that lower level probably warrants some additional thought in terms of what's really going to go down there. The minute we start putting in vehicles into a building, we have to start getting into floor drains and holding tanks and all sorts of other goodies for containment of a vehicle and obviously all of it related to spill, gasoline or oil kind of containment. So, you know, I would ask you to just think about that lower level and really mapping out a bit more on how the usage of that area probably wants to happen. And are we taking advantage of the site properly for the walkout? I think we are. But do we need to make these traditional bays, or can they be a different type of door, not an overhead door, so that it doesn't read like an apparatus type of vehicle bay? Those are questions I think that you have to wrestle with internally. So that's kind of a bit of a fire hose update on the planning and we've got elevations. I'm not, we can show you maybe one concept because again, all of them are going to be somewhat variations on a theme. Why don't we zoom in on this view here, Yanni? So, you know, the nice thing about the fire station as it sits now, it's not that hard to connect to on this gable end right here. So this is kind of our match line. This is that solid gear room, which is why there's no windows in there. We took a quick look, and by the time you mount those locker racks on the wall, and we try to keep the roof low enough to tuck into some other things, it's not going to allow for some windows on that side. So we'll have to just come up with something creative to make a little longer blank wall not look so dull. But then we're talking about a fairly straightforward addition with a gable, and you know, we don't even have materials or anything noted as yet, but those three windows correspond in each of the plans to either the bunk rooms or a hallway window. Let me take a look at the side view, Yanni, or the 3D view. So this gives us the kind of the lay of the land on how the topo naturally drops off. So the foundation, et cetera, would drop down and allow us to kind of do that drive under situation. So, you know, the nice thing is when it's not a really difficult addition and a connection to make to the fire station. We're not, again, undermining 80 or 100 feet of the existing wall and, you know, blocking off egress windows on a second floor. This kind of 3D view right here starts to show a fairly simple gable structure that can become the back area for the fire ops and the kind of the connecting section, the hallway, the gear room, and other things. And that kind of what we're showing right now is a bit of a flat roof section through here. And I say flat, but there'd be some one and a half pitch for runoff. We're trying to tuck it in underneath some existing roofs, so we're not starting to get into a lot of messy connections of the old to the new. Again, a lot of this will be determined and studied in more detail when we're into eventual construction drawings someday. So I think that's the quick view on that. Maybe I'll just touch on the schedule real quick. Or actually, before I leave, let me ask any questions on the basic plans. I'm giving you copies tonight to digest, and you've been good about giving us feedback, and the chief's been good about giving us plan critiques. So I think we're kind of at around the third round of sketch options right now, and again, barring a change to go study a freestanding building or something, we should be pretty close to being able to go and begin the cost estimating work and start to put some budgets to these this move. So before I talk schedule, any questions?
The only question I was going to have was, after reading the report on the septic system, it seemed that it was critical to get that sorted out as quickly as possible before you got into too deep into the design. But you already accounted for that in the schedule here.
Yeah, we have a meeting coming up. Well, we have a meeting request into the health agent right now to go meet with him and make sure that he agrees with the methodology about the aggregating of the septic flows. We've used it in multiple projects. Our engineer has used it, so we're not pushing some unknown approach here. We basically want kind of a blessing on merging the two septic flows.
Absolutely,
yeah.
That's a great approach, by the way.
Thank you.
I just have one other question. The Civic Association meets on April 16th, and we were going to do a presentation at that meeting. And I was wondering if there, you know, we'd like to have at least a ballpark figure that we can give people. Is that going to be?
We should have it by then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If we're mostly good tonight, and you let us know in the next couple days and left that if we're in good shape, that gives us a little over 4 weeks. So we should be fine to get it off to the estimator. Usually we get it back. We have to kind of scrub through it. There's always a second round of edits. But I think by April 16th, we should be able to deliver the budget.
Great. Yep. Okay, thank you.
And in fact, that's just kind of a good segue right here to where we are. We're kind of right here in the finalized concept, conceptual design drawings, prepare summary of work and outline spec, and then we have coordinate with cost estimator. So we're around the third week of April. We could probably slide that back. I don't think there's going to be too much problem tightening that down a little bit right here so that we can have a realistic budget for you for that meeting. It may have a couple of holes on the soft cost side, but the construction estimate would be well in hand. There's always all the soft cost pieces, the furniture, furnishings, and equipment. We're already out for pricing with our engineers to find out what it would cost to implement this plan, so we're trying to give you also that soft cost number to take any one of these versions all the way out to bid. So we've already put it out to the civil, structural, and mechanical engineers for their pricing. When we get that back, we can roll it up and at least have a soft cost number because certainly to go forward from May beyond to go all the way out to bid, we have to give you that next number. So that puts so the short-term schedule to complete the study, we're just saying somewhere in here in early May, we're assuming there's a final presentation to all of you and to whatever district folks are interested in where it's all coming in. So we're kind of, if you're in here in April with kind of saying, putting some soft numbers in the construction cost to the was it a district meeting in April, Fran?
No, this is going to be the Civic Association.
Civic Association, I'm sorry. So if you're back to the Civic Association in April, and then we're assuming there'll be a May kind of completion, we want to wrap it all up in time for your annual meeting.
Great.
I'm not sure I have a date on that, though, so we have to...
May 29th.
May 29th? Okay. We could click over to the long-term schedule. I started talking about this at first, and this was just kind of looking at a high level of where we are. I apologize for the resolution, but I'll walk you through it. So it's essentially, if in the May 19, the district votes to proceed with the project and taking it all the way out to bid, and we move into a second phase contract, we're going to have some updating of the design to do, I'm sure, to get it ready for the regulatory permitting. And you'll see there's 3 months built in right in here, which is our time to go to the town for site plan review, and what we anticipate will be Zoning Board of Appeals, because inevitably we're going to have a special permit situation. I think we did a couple of rundowns on the zoning, and there's not going to be a surprise if we end up in front of the zoning board. I don't believe you're a candidate for an exemption. I'm not sure we can ask that question, but my experience in Barnstable is the town buildings are not necessarily exempt from their own zoning processes. So I think that's where we'll end up in front of perhaps three groups. We're envisioning right now site plan review, Zoning Board of Appeals, and perhaps the Board of Health. And it may be just to bless that approach that we were describing earlier, where we're getting the Board of Health to bless the septic aggregation approach. Matthew Eddy from Baxter Nye advised me, put it in your schedule in case we need it. So we've got it plugged right in this block of 3 months under the regulatory approvals. If we come out of that and everything is all full steam ahead, then we're getting into the design development piece where we're putting together all of the details through this part. You can scan down just a little bit, Yanni, so I can see the months. So we're right here in early 2020. So we're kind of in assuming by end of this year, we would be dealing with the regulatory permitting piece. In the very, very end of the year and into early of 2020, we would be doing the construction bid documents. And then if we pan down a little bit, we're going out to bid around mid 2020 for about a fall start. So again, you have copies of this. It's probably much more legible than this. And that would be, we assumed about a 10-month construction period. And that would be, you know, including kind of site mobilization and punch list and closeout. It's not a large project. It probably could be easily built in 6 or 7 months. We're stretching on either end because we know on public work there's always a little bit of a run-up time, especially when you're trying to mobilize on a site that's existing and you've got operations ongoing around you, where and how they put a trailer on the site. There's a good month or two of mobilization on the site. There'll be a month or two of closeout and punch lists and contract wrap-up. So that's why we've kind of got the entire process set up at about a 10-month schedule. So that puts you kind of in occupancy. Help me with the month right there, Yanni. June? Okay, July, August, 2021. And this is a relatively conservative schedule. Not to say things can't be compressed a little bit, but when we build it around the two district meetings this year and one next year, we kind of had to build everything on either side of that. So that's kind of the lay of the schedule if things proceed along in a linear way.
Just so you know, there's a water pipe that feeds a building behind us that goes right along that lot line where the merge is.
Site plan, Yanni?
It's a water connection for somebody behind us.
So it goes through the existing lot over here?
Yeah, it goes right in between the buildings.
So it goes through here now?
No. Yeah, right
okay.
along the lot yeah. line, yeah.
Okay. So those are good things to know. This is, again, we're working off of a GIS site plan here from the town. It's not as on-the-ground survey. So one of the things we have, one of the early things we'll have to do for the next phase would be to, first of all, get a survey of this parcel and to get all the utilities identified, all of things like a buried pipe, so that if that feeds a house in the back,
it's going to have to be moved.
It's either going to have to be rerouted around, and oftentimes those can be done early on before they do the foundation work, so they could come in with the new water line, connect it up, and then abandon the old. That's most often how those sequences end up having to happen, so you're not disconnecting the service. But those are things that we definitely would have on a survey someday when we actually can get an on-the-ground property survey done. Anything
Thank
else?
You.
Any other questions?
No, not at the moment.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll check in another day or two with the chief, and if there's any other plan adjustments, otherwise we're going to get ready to put it out for the pricing.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for coming down. Oh, is she? Okay, great. Want to do the debt authorization?
Yes, please. I can pass these. When we floated the bond, we did not include all of the previous chemical upgrade, and so to avoid a deficit, since we paid it off and needed the authorization, the simple solution and the long-term solution too is to issue a new bond. It'll be an 8-month bond maturing next December. And that will give us the opportunity to put the chemical and the security system into a long-term bond, which more fits with the type of equipment we've put in. I spoke with Chris. He spoke with the engineers. And the life on both of those is in the 10 to 15 range. So it would be reasonable to exceed the 5-year limit by establishing a 8-year or 10-year bond to take care of that. And we can look at that next December as we look at the rates to see how those fall. With your permission, I will proceed. I've provided on the second page save paper by doing it on both sides. The tentative financing schedule for this. So with your approval to proceed, we will advertise and have the papers, have the bid sold and ready for your signature at the next Prudential Committee meeting later this month.
So would you like a motion on that now?
Yes, I would, please.
Could I have a motion?
So moved. Repeat.
Move to authorize the issuance of
the bond.
Of a 8-month bond for $225,000.
As shown in your schedule.
So moved. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The second point is that we ran into a feature that we haven't seen before in the December bond issue, and that is a bond premium. And the bond premium is a device that the banks use to be more competitive, so without lowering their interest rate. So they'll quote you an interest rate and give you more money. The effective rate is lower, but you now have more money than you asked for. And the state, not surprisingly, has a several pages of rules related to how one copes with getting more money. The bottom, and it's, ours is going to be split because there are different rules for new funding versus rollover funding. But the bottom line is I need your authority to use the bond premium that we received, approximately $4,000 in December, for debt service. That is the easiest way to do it, and I think the most economical for the district. So with your permission, the motion would be to authorize the treasurer to use bond premium for debt service.
I'll make a motion to use the $4,000 to be used for debt service.
Second.
Any discussion, okay. Questions? No? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The third thing that I wanted to talk about, and we can talk about this in, actually in line with the budget, I have the budget for the finance department prepared. And I thought I would run through that. Some of that is placeholders, and I have other placeholders, and for example, in Freedom Hall, that we're ready to resolve some issues. But what I did was, after I did this budget, I picked up the numbers from the fire department and the water department and incorporated that in what the total budget would look like and what the impact is. Particularly this year, since we have very limited free cash to apply to the budget. So starting with the finance department, the largest increase is in salaries, and that's two-part. We found it necessary, as we got your approval at the last meeting, to increase the assistant treasurer's hours from 20 to 30 in recognition of the increased regulations and workload that we're facing, and we also gave the assistant treasurer a cost of living adjustment at that time. Going into next year, we carried that forward on an annual basis, and looking at my hours, I've adjusted those upward to not what we have been spending, but the budget last year. For this year is really unrealistic, and I've had to increase my hours. So what I'm proposing is an increase in my hours to reflect really the time that I'm spending. And so that is a significant increase from 59,000 to 78, although our current travel rate would indicate that we're going to end up the year around 78. So I'm backing off of where I think we're going to end up to give ourselves, myself, a task to reduce ours next year.
Is that 78 or 76?
It's 76 going
okay.
into next year.
Okay.
Our run rate
okay.
would end up at 78.
Okay.
Telephone, basically the run rate looks like it's going to be up slightly. Again, we'll refine that as we go forward. Payroll service goes down a little bit. We're traveling at about $200 per pay period. The accounting services was the last year of our three-year agreement at $14,500. I've reduced the office supplies in recognition of the running rate. We haven't been using that much, and we will carry that economies forward. Small increase in dues and memberships to reflect our running rate. Insurance It's a preliminary estimate from the insurance agents. I'm sure they're going to refine it for me going forward, but the initial indication is $107,000, which is a slight increase over where we are with the current budget. And that's for both the property liability as well as workers' comp. And in the payroll taxes, I basically took money out of that and brought it down to what I anticipate based on what the salary in, figures were that I've received from fire, water, and for finance. I've been able to adjust that down, so I'm basically taking the cushion out of that number. And the balance of everything else is level funded. The next page rolls all that up, basically what we've heard just from myself, going up about 4%. Fire department, I think they've actually changed their numbers very slightly from what I picked up. I think they're down below 4%, but I picked up 4%. I did not add any special revenues, appropriations, the $60,000. That would also go in. Department of Water, I think they came in at just under 6.9. When I got their preliminary numbers, I used 7. The public buildings, a couple of placeholders in that, so this is not a final number by any means, but it's about level funded. I anticipate that going up. We're adding internet service, and we may be incurring more groundkeeping expenses than we had in the past year. Someone who did that for us is no longer doing it for us.
Just Mr. Ceratoni, who owned the house, excuse me, directly behind us, just moved yesterday. And he's been paying for all the maintenance of our lawn over the years.
So I would anticipate some increase in that area as well.
Well, I guess he asked the person who bought the house to continue that service, but we never know. So.
We never know, so I think we probably ought to provide for it and hope for the best. Library, I've held that constant. And then we come to the budget for debt service. And as I rolled up the numbers and saw that things were going to be rather tight, I reduced our debt service payments substantially. And I've got, if I can have you turn back to the third page in my budget handout. Having to jump around a bit, I apologize. Basically, what I'm doing is putting those long-term projects into a long-term bond next year, and I'm putting the other short-term trucks and air packs on a three-year pay down. The roof and floor on a five-year pay down. This minimizes the amount of principal payments that we will make next year. Always open to suggestions on what you would see, but in light of the fact that without that, the projected tax rate is 14 or 15%. I think we have to look at wherever we can to minimize that. Now, I have incorporated some increase from ambulance revenue. The chief and I had a very brief discussion. It means we have to look at this a little bit more in detail. But revenue is up, and we believe that revenue will be up with the new ambulance billing service. Very pleased with their work and see a revenue gain opportunity. I have not reflected anything for the water rate increase, and that was one my question to Chris. I think we really need to have that incorporated so we get a better view that we can tell the taxpayers what the impact is going to be.
I just had a question on the water rates. Do we know what the COLA is? Has the federal government come out with a COLA yet?
I have not checked that.
Because they have 3% of the COLA.
Well, Social Security came out at just over like 2.01% or something like that. But I have not checked any of the government stats. I can do that if you will.
Well, no, it just seems like they just use 3% because, you know, the cost of living, we don't know what it is.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Any questions? I mean, it's always good to see when the overall budget is less than what it is for this year, and by a substantial amount. So, but like you were saying, the interest I would have is just to see what that would do to the tax rate eventually. So.
Exactly.
Because there's things that are obviously, like you said, there's some things that are bonded, some things that are debt service, some things that we're paying for in other ways with revenue. So at the end of the day, I would like to see what that tax rate is going to be.
Turn to page 3.
There you go.
And based on those numbers, the anticipated tax increase would be 13.17%. Now, that does not assume any increase in valuation, which may occur. It holds valuation constant. And as I said, water rates constant. Slight increase in ambulance revenue that we'll have to verify as going forward. The one thing I have not included, there is something that was hanging around since I came, which is a $7,000 bill that the Cape Cod Municipal Health Group believes that we owe. I think when I got here, we asked them to give us the specifics on that, and all they do is send us a printout of our bill for the last 2 years. It appears that that equals a MedEx payment, so Lisa will be digging into the records to see if we can find out about that. Absent that, it's going to hang over our heads, and we're going to have some authorization to pay it.
That's from quite some time ago, isn't it?
I believe it's 15 and prior.
Yeah. I know Mike was working on that also, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have a couple of questions. So from what I see here, obviously you don't have the free cash for 2020 because you have to get that certified after the year starts, so that could lower our tax levy. But you also don't have the debt funding.
No debt funding. I don't have the special article for the fire department. That would be subject to debt funding. I'm not all that enthusiastic about debt funding for ongoing operations.
Okay.
That's usually not prudent.
Yeah, capital article. Mm-hmm. Should be an article, capital article.
It should be a capital article, yes.
But so, as of right now, this is just a very conservative view of what the tax levy could be.
Yes.
Until a couple of months from now, we're really not going to find out. But worst case scenario, we're going up about 13%.
Yes.
Okay.
So, but we don't know about the water rates when that'll kick in.
No, that's probably the biggest upside potential that we have.
Right. And we're still getting, in terms of the cell tower business, we're still getting the usual payments that we were getting. They haven't been cut yet, so we don't know when those are going to get cut.
Exactly.
Correct? Yeah.
And that's going to be hard to project.
Yeah. That's going to go from over $100,000
to
40. 40, yeah.
Now we do have until November to make the final decision. But what we'll be telling the taxpayers at the annual district meeting is going to have to be a guess at that.
Yeah.
Okay. I only have one more request. If hopefully. Next time there's something like this is on the agenda, if there's any way we can get it in advance, because I'm like trying to talk to you and calculating stuff on my phone. So Sure. It'd just be easier if I could just look at it beforehand, just make a couple of notes and comments, because, again, it doesn't seem like our tax levy is going up a lot from last year. From what I have, is 5.5%. But because you don't have the amount of free cash, which, again, you won't have until the state certifies it later on, we technically
don't. I estimated that in at 130, and I think that's where we're going to be certified.
Okay. Then, okay, well.
But I take your point about advance copies.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you.
Thanks. All set?
All set.
Okay, so, Freedom Hall. We have representatives from the Tango Group here. It's my understanding that they are trying to contract with a Argentinian tango teacher who would come up here for approximately 8 or 9 days. Yeah. And so they'd be using the hall on a daily basis. Oh, just on the Thursdays? Okay. So when are we going to do the floor? The problem.
So, yeah.
How long is it going to take?
So as of right now, the request for quotes time frame closes tomorrow at noon. Mm-hmm. So by tomorrow, we should at least be able to, we'll stop taking in quotes, and then we'll start reviewing who got the lowest quote, who was the most responsible, or that meets all the criteria that the state makes us look into before we award. So we'll probably have to schedule a meeting next week so that we can decide who the lowest responsible quotee or quoter or whatever the word is
mm-hmm.
was.
Quotor.
And then work on awarding the contract. So after that happens, I put it in the request for quotes that the work cannot last more than a month. So as soon as we award, they have 30 days, the clock starts ticking.
So I've heard various estimates for how long this is going to take. We had mm-hmm. a couple of guys say just, you know, a week, a little bit more.
Correct.
And then a third person that was here said it, you know, gave a very detailed 3-week schedule to
Correct.
Do it. So I'm more leaning towards it's going to take 3 weeks.
Absolutely. Worst case scenario.
Yeah.
You go with that
yeah.
every time. So we're going with, that's what we're thinking right now. Hopefully it's not going to take, it's going to take somewhere between 1 and 3 weeks. And again, that's why we gave them a 30-day window to do the work. Hopefully that gives them if a week here and there in case there's any weather issues and or material delays or things like that. So worst case scenario, all 4 weeks is what it's going to take.
So, but what we're looking at is a scheduling problem
mm-hmm.
With the Tango, and the Civic Association wants to be here the 16th for the meeting, and then they'll have another meeting in May,
mm-hmm.
And then we have the elections and our annual meeting. You know, if we're going to need that much time, we have to decided on a time, and I was kind of hoping that we get it done in March, but that's not going to work, and I don't know. Certainly, we're not going to get it done in April.
Absolutely not. I mean, maybe mid-April. Let's say we meet next week, beginning of next week, and we award Monday or Tuesday. Then the clock starts ticking. So Tuesday of next week would be the 12th. So by April 12th, the second week of April, they have to be done.
Yeah.
So the 30 days included the securing the materials, because if I recall from previous conversations, that was actually going to be the longest amount of time they needed rather than the actual, you know, work here. So it might be, it's not as if the hall itself needs to be shut down for a month. It's just we need to be out of here when they're actually ready to perform.
Correct.
Work.
I mean, the way I have a copy of the request for quotes, it says very clearly the work must be completed within 30 days of the contract being awarded to the responsible contractor offering to perform the work at the lowest price. So once you get the contract in, you got to be out of here within 30 days. So anybody who put a quote in understands that.
Okay. Well, I was looking at the, you know, maybe can we put it off if we so decide?
Yeah.
Say to like June?
Yeah. I mean, if it gets into a point that it's affecting a lot of the operations and things that go on in here, we can definitely talk to the contractor and say, hey, you know, would it be beneficial to you? Because now we have a conflict with some of the schedules, including our meeting, which we can't reschedule. So
have we checked with Chris to be sure whether or not, you know, just when we start to get into June, how much more often is the hall reserved for other functions?
Well, there's a birthday party or a retirement party or something June 7th for 75 people, which is a problem. But you know, no matter where you look on the schedule, somebody's going to have to be disappointed. That's the bottom line. It's so busy now, and people are using the hall that, you know, we just have to, you know. We just
need to be careful and let Chris know if we do decide to put it off, not to book anything.
Yeah, no.
You know, our regular meetings are one thing, but, you know, those private bookings that we get.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And it is an inconvenience, but, again, it's just one of those things you kind of just want to pull the Band-Aid and get it done and then not have to worry about it for years to come.
Yeah.
I think it would be great if we could get it done by mid-April.
That'd be terrific.
And again, that also depends on the quality of the contractor we get. That's why there's certain performance requirements that are put in there that they have to have done this work before, that they have to provide us with references, which we're going to call and find out, because we want to make sure that we can make this work within the tight window that we have.
Okay. So they're all, you know, I mean, they're just, somebody's going to be disappointed, you know, so.
I'm just happy that the hall gets used that much. I mean, until I started working on this project, I didn't realize how much it gets used. So that's a good thing that we're fixing the floor and spiffing it up. So, but again, it's just one of those things. It's going to be inconvenient somebody, but once it's done, it'll be done and we'll all
be
better
off.
Be good
for another 160 years.
Hopefully. So. Knock on wood.
Okay.
We won't be here.
No. It'll be somebody else's problem. So is there any public comment?
Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. It was very helpful that the water department brought handouts for the people in the audience. I was wondering if all the presentations that were presented here tonight could be posted to the website so we could have them. Or do I have to make a public records request?
I suppose we could probably put them on the website.
Okay, thank you.
Who does that?
Chris.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll take it.
He's good.
Charlie's good?
I'm good.
You're good? I'll accept.
I do have a question. We had a problem with bond counsel. Whether the district needs a bylaw change so that the moderator can claim a 2/3 majority in votes. Luckily, everyone was unanimous, but for the bonding issue, he doesn't have the authority unless we have a bylaw in place.
Oh, it says that it requires a 2/3 vote? Is that what you're saying?
The bonding issues require a 2/3 vote. The moderator doesn't have the ability to claim a 2/3 vote without a count.
Right.
He was a unanimous vote. My recollection was, were there any objections? No, it's unanimous, but we recorded it as 2/3 meeting the requirement. We actually exceeded the requirement, so we're going to refile with bond counsel. But going forward, it would be useful if the moderator had the ability to declare a 2/3 without taking account. If it appears verbally to be that.
Okay, all right. So we need a bylaw change for that.
Well, in the meantime, worst case scenario, we can do a roll call.
We do a hard call.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll put it down as unanimous fine. And that takes care of it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the beauty of having a small district. You can do stuff like that still.
All right. I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.